Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 366 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
Terrible, Todd. Not you sound being terrible, Todd, but I'm doing terrible, comma, Todd. As you're listening to the show a day late, I was thinking about renumbering the show back to one since I completed the egregious thing of missing a day.
That's okay. We didn't miss a week, though. That's unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Like other shows miss
or multiple weeks.
Right. Oh, that's just terrible. I don't even know how you can be on the network and do that.
Or multiple months.
Right, right. Ugh.
Or recording shows, editing to them, and never releasing them.
There's a lot of crimes against the soon-to-be-named network right there.
It's crimes against me, personally.
Well, you're the one who listens, so...
Is
it a crime if someone does something and the other person doesn't notice?
It is to me.
Oh, okay.
The things that people think offend me versus the things that actually do offend me are a wide chasm.
Oh, boy. Lots of off-air talk after this show.
So, I got no problem saying this up front. Two of the shows in the Soon to Be Named Network here are Prodigal Sons Podcast and Prime Defective. Prime Defective is about Star Trek, specifically Next Generation.
Your favorite.
Don't care. Not in the least. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, when there hasn't been an episode of Prime Defective since May...
Well, it's only October.
It's only October. So I understand, the boys are busy, the boys have, my apologies, the last episode was in March, not May.
No, that's fine.
Right. So, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because... I'm just going back and reading some of their iTunes reviews. But then...
Which actually count.
Right. And then, Prodigal Sons Podcast, I actually enjoyed, and I would look forward to listening to, right? And to pull the curtain back a little bit, we share a Dropbox amongst many of us in the network. And they would put episodes... in the Dropbox to edit them together. And sometimes episodes would just kind of linger in there. So what I would end up doing is, I would end up taking the three files, editing them together myself, so I could just be the one to listen to them.
Wow. And then just be like, leaving them there, right?
Right. I'm like, hey, I saw these, this was in here for a week. I wanted to listen to it, so I edited it and I left it in there just in case you guys want to publish this. And they're like, oh, hey, thanks, man. And then it would never get published. Or they would record an episode and just not put it in the Dropbox. Or they would all record their end in WAVE files, which are giant, huge files, which means I wouldn't be able to access them because they're restricting the limit on our Dropbox. So I would see the files sitting there, but I couldn't access them to edit and listen to myself.
Oh, my God.
So it just, you know, as a fan of podcasts and a fan of the people on the soon-to-be-named network, I enjoy the podcasts that they put out. You know, I wouldn't have included them in this gimmick of ours if I didn't. And it's just like, hey, we're recording shows, but we're not releasing them. And I'm like, oh, it's so frustrating.
Right.
But we record and we release.
That's right. We catch and release.
Right.
So
what do we got on the show today, Todd?
We have legacy numbering, but not from Marvel.
What?
Ooh. And also, we have news about cons, which is not to be confused with what we have later, which is con news. And then we also have free digital books and sales. What we read last week, which was Marvel Legacy number 1 and Detective Comics 965.
Correct.
Also what we're looking forward to this week. I don't think I had an art attack. I'll have to check. And Todd and Joe have issues, which this week was Creasy number 1 by Warren Ellis.
The November 5th, 1955 of Todd and Joe have issues.
I don't know what that means.
It's a little known red letter date in the history of the world.
Is that Back to the Future stuff?
It is.
Oh, okay. I'm confused. But anyway,
most of the books that we do in Todd and Joe have issues are books that most people have probably heard of, featuring, you know, superheroes or characters that have been made into questionable TV shows and so forth. Until you mentioned Creasy to me, I was unaware that this thing even existed.
Well, I knew about it because it was a Warren Ellis. We'll get into all that when we talk about the book, but I understand what you're saying.
Let's not get ahead of things.
Right. Let's not put the cart before the horse.
All right. So, Todd, you'd mentioned about legacy numbering.
Mm-hmm.
So, it states here that the upcoming issues of Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, and The Flash are earmarked as the hero's 800th and 700th adventures.
Right.
Now, they're not going to go back and change the numbering back to these 8s and 700s, but they are going to do separate variant covers honoring these milestones.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is interesting. I hope they put out the numbering, because I wonder how close it is to, you know, we were having fun with the Marvel renumbering to get those legacy numbers. But I know there was a lot of weird stuff going on with, especially like a book like The Flash. Like, I remember when there was the Flash book, and then there was, like, all Flash going on at the same time. Do you remember that?
Right. It was when they, like, changed whatever the story arc was. They did, like, a new number one, and then after the new number one of all Flash, they went back to the original numbering.
Right. And it was Bart Allen was the Flash there for a while. But yeah, I don't know how close these are, and I think if DC's smart, they'll just go, yeah, these are close to the legacy numbers. Wink, just trust us. Because when you bring that other stuff out and you're not even close, people are just going to lambaste you.
Well, we're only, what, 3 months away from these, I think? 3 or 4 months away from these things actually happening?
Right.
So I'm sure once it gets closer to those January solicitations, if they are going to do anything to kind of show their work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Similar to, I don't know if you've seen some of the variant covers that Marvel did with their legacy books. They have a run of variant covers where it says, Chip Zdarsky shows you how to draw X in 6 easy steps.
Yeah, I saw the Daredevil ones, especially funny.
Right. So there's a lot of steps missing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they should do something similar to that.
Right. Like the old gist, like, whatever, like something plus question mark equals dollars.
Right. Because I think the one that would be the toughest would be probably Flash.
Yeah, probably.
Right, because I think Superman would be pretty easy, Batman would be pretty easy, Wonder Woman would be pretty easy.
Right. Flash had some weird stuff going on at
right.
the time.
Now, if they did Detective Comics, you know, that's actually at the numbering, so we'll get there when we get there, and we'll know when that hits 1,000. Or at least we're taking their word for it.
Well, that was another one that was easy, because when Detective stopped, they rebirthed number 1, and then they just did 52 issues of that, so it wasn't hard. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't hard to figure that one out. But like I said, the Flash one is kind of weird because it had 2 different books going on. And I don't know. So, but I just like the idea as a Flash guy getting a 700 is kind of cool because, or whatever number that's going to be, because I wish that they kept the numbering back in the day. Like, I'm a legacy numbering guy, but, you know, it gets too confusing jumping back and forth.
That is correct. And as a great man once said, Todd,
Yes.
If you're upset about the numbers on your comic books, you bring them to me, and I will write any number on those books that you want.
That guy sounds like he's a pal. Miotti.
Oh, man. So, moving along to convention stuff, and that's pretty much the rest of what we have here. So we have announcements of new conventions and cancellations of conventions. So, Wizard has been kind of up and down with their conventions as of the last couple years. And I don't want to say that they canceled the rest of their shows for the rest of 2017. They're claiming that they're being postponed. Now, every year they end up saying we're going to add more. And I look at their list of their TBD dates. And it's a lot of places that don't typically see conventions, like Montgomery, Alabama, Biloxi, Mississippi, Boise, Idaho, and the like, which are some of the ones that they actually canceled this time. And, you know, I was hearing more and more. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Sheamus brothers doing their new super conventions that are like a grand for, it's a grand, by the way. It's $1,000 to get your picture taken with the Justice League cast.
It seems like a good price, though.
Right, that's reasonable. At least they won't gouge you on the concessions, right?
Right, yeah, we were talking about that.
Right.
A grand for that Justice League. But the stipulation is none of them will smile.
Right, and well, you know, it's the cast of Justice League minus Affleck.
Right, and they have to be muted out colors.
And again, side note, I heard a quote from Danny I read a quote from Danny Elfman the other day in regards to some of the musical choices that are being made for Justice League.
Right.
Let's just say I'm not being filled with pride or hope or inspiration like the Justice League is supposed to do.
Oh, I hope they do a sad version of the Christopher Reeve song.
I'm gonna find the quote here for you in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just so, this is not the first time that Wizard has canceled conventions, but they don't seem to ever go away, I guess.
I wonder if they'll ever go away if they get some bigger competition.
People who are making a play for that Reed Pop, who has popped up, pun intended, some of the other big name conventions like New York Comic Con, C2E2, and so forth. They stated that next year they are going to be starting the Keystone Comic Con in Philadelphia. Kind of saying that it's going to be the size and scope and scale of New York and Chicago, but it's going to be in Philly.
Do you have the date in front of you right there? I know I had it written down somewhere.
I do. It's September 14th to 16th.
Which is kind of crazy because because you have Baltimore right around that time, then you have New York in October, and you have this one. And then I'm trying to think if there's like if there's another big con around there. That's like three big comic cons. Now, granted, Baltimore is the only like strictly comics. The other two, I'm going to tell you, the Philly one, they're going to try and get, especially for that first one, big guests like, you know, Walking Dead actors and stuff like that, the stuff that draws people nowadays. But that makes me actually worry more for Baltimore. Like, I think it's going to kill Wizard, but Baltimore getting sandwiched between those two big shows and being within like 2 to 3 hours of both those cities could really hurt the little independent that could.
Right, so again, this is, as you mentioned, it's 2 weeks before Baltimore and 3 weeks before New York.
Mm-hmm.
But see, for me, Philly is like a 2-hour drive.
Right.
That's perfect for me.
But Baltimore for us is only what, like a 3-hour drive?
3 hours and change, sure.
Right, so it's not that bad, but like New York is the same way. New York is a 2-hour drive. Like, we're perfect for like these three shows.
Yeah.
But the only thing is I talk like with my friend Josh, who's going to New York, and goes to Baltimore. It's like those, like at that point when they're that close together, as a fan, you have to start making some choices. Cause unless you're, you know, Daddy Warbucks, you can't do all three. That's just too close.
Well, I won't be doing New York, because New York just seems like a headache, getting in and out of the city, hotels, and everything else like that.
It's not if you know what you're doing.
Oh,
but
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I would walk you through it. I would hold your hand.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore's easy. Baltimore's real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the area that it's in. Like any good hotels within walking distance. And that's a good con. And Philly is the same way. Like, there's a bunch of hotels right around that. They're all three good con cities. I've been to all three, and it'd be tough to rate them as to like how good they are.
Baltimore always holds a special place in my heart.
Baltimore is really good, just because it's still the Comic-Con. They're trickling in media guests, but they're the last holdout of a true big Comic-Con. And the other one that never gets really any like the credit the way we give these other shows, but it's so far away from us, is Charlotte, the Charlotte Con, the Heroes Con.
Yeah,
that is a big straight up comic book convention, and I've only been there once, but it is one of my favorite cons that I've ever went to. That was the one when I met my good buddy Neil Gaiman, got a picture with him.
Oh, there you go. That's Mark picture to end all Mark pictures.
That's right. He leaned into me. I didn't lean into him. So that's how big I was at the time.
Well, we'll get into Mark pictures here in a second. I just want to go kind of take a step back talking about the $1,000 Justice League picture.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That Danny Elfman quote. So
right.
I guess he's doing the score for the Justice League movie, mm-hmm. and he had mentioned that they're going to be doing the John Williams Superman theme in the Justice League movie.
Right.
And then he followed it up by saying, quote, "And that for me was heaven, because now I have a melody to twist, and I'm using it in some actually very dark ways, in a dark moment. It's kind of a thing that some fans will notice. Some won't. It's a moment where we aren't really sure whose side he's on."
That's the Superman I want, where I'm not sure if I can trust him.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? At least they're staying true to the Superman they've created in the movie universe.
That's right. I hope it's when he turns around to reveal his porn stash.
Well, no, didn't they digitally remove it?
No, they digitally put it back on.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I know he's doing a James Bond movie and they wouldn't let him shave. Imagine that. You're doing a James Bond movie and that takes precedence over a Justice League movie.
Oh, my God. See, no, you're right. I think it is they have to digitally remove it because we were joking around. They should have just painted over it like Cesar Romero did back in the day.
I say what? Or they do like the green screen gimmick over it. They put green paint. And then they digitally put flesh color in.
Oh, it would look fan. You just do it. Oh, just so many possibilities.
That's why I'm not a special effects artiste.
Well, if you use green screen, he might think it's kryptonite and pass out.
So we're talking about conventions. We're talking about Mark photos. Now, one of the things that I've loved that they've been doing over the last couple of years at New York Comic Con is when they would be doing trading cards for your favorite creators.
Mm-hmm.
So Comixology is actually doing a gimmick where you, the person, Joe Schmo off the street, can be on a trading card with one of your favorite creators.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they've got a whole list of different people that you can get your picture with. Everyone from Scotty Young, Art Balthazar, Donnie Cates, Walt Simonson, Louise Simonson. Now, they're missing the boat not having the two of them together, but we'll let that one pass. A few other names that we'll talk about off-air.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting my picture taken with a few of them.
Now, I will say this. If you are going to go on Friday morning and get your picture taken with Scott Snyder, I almost demand that he wear the chainmail headdress.
Yes. And hope that they do write it Scott Snyder.
Right.
Or Scott Steiner. I'm still mad that I never got to meet him before he got big.
Mm.
And we just walk up to him and go, "Hey, Big Papa Pump." Like, what?
We could have been them jerks.
That's right. Then you'd tick off a creator and the show doesn't want to do that.
No. We want to stay on everyone's good side, honestly.
That's right. We're good people, and we like everybody.
So are you. Remember when that was the show motto?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So are you going to take part in any of these? Or are you going to go and try to get your picture taken with any of these creators?
I'm definitely getting my picture taken Whether I'm going to get it with like a creator, I would. I'd wander around and do it. But there's definitely going to be a Todd Roker card, because there has to be one. And I'm mad that you're not going, because I think it would have been great to get Long Box Heroes cards.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, that would have been great. But can you imagine if you're going to get your Mark photo with me, we run over and we get cards made.
Right. Are you and a fan?
That's right. It'd be like, this is a legendary comic card with you on it and some random guy like me.
Now, look, and again, I don't know if they'll allow you to, yeah, it says, whether posing with creators solo or with a friend, so they would allow you to do that.
Right, yes. You could do it solo with the creator or you know, I guess two people or whatever. That's why I was thinking if we had gone, it would have been a Joe card, a Todd card, and then a Joe and a Todd card. And we could have, oh, it would have been great. But no, you're all like, oh, I'm sick and I can't go.
Oh.
I wanted to get my picture taken with some Joe Spo-schmo.
At least as long as you bring my Billy Ripken bat with you for the photo, we'll be okay. Mm,
that's right. I would, Negan with that on the bottom, Negan's Lucille with that on the bottom. Would be fantastic.
Oh my goodness.
Now I'm going to take my Lucille replica. Joe.
And you're going to put that on the bottom?
I'm going to put that on the bottom, and when I go to take the picture, just lift it up. Just like, click.
Well, you've seen the, you're aware of the Billy Ripken baseball card.
Yes, we talked about this on the After Dark last week or the week before, where I thought it was Wade Boggs, remember?
Right.
But I know what it says. It says, bleep face.
Right. The favorite character from the TV show that won't be named here.
Right. I'm definitely doing that, though.
So we're talking about it, and again, there's some other conventions going on this weekend. Sure. There's a convention in Sacramento. There's a convention in Atlanta. There's a convention in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And all those are fine and good, but the biggie, of course, this weekend is New York Comic Con, and not just because it's New York Comic Con, but because Todd's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we talk a little bit about it on After Dark, but if you go to New York Comic Con, Todd is going to be assisting at Friend of the Show, designer of our logo, DC Comics artist extraordinaire Tom Derenick, at table B27. Go over, say hi, get a Mark picture with one or both of them. And I'll also tell you this, if you see Todd, either at the table or on the floor, ask him for a sticker or a pin and see which one he has.
Hmm. Well, because you made me buy stickers, I might have stickers. Pins are in the works. You never know when.
Oh, yeah? How's that coming along?
Well, I got to get a pin guy. You got a sticker guy.
I've told you I've got a pin guy.
Right. Well, are you going halves or what?
Absolutely not. I want nothing to do with pins.
I wanted nothing to do with stickers, yet here we are.
Oh, boy. The stickers are paid for themselves.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
No.
No. Now, pins, they'd be flying off the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe as I wander around the show, Joe, I'll take pictures of places that have pins and places that have stickers, and we'll see which does better.
Right. You be on the side of popular, famous things, and I'll be on the side of the little guy. The guy who's been here forever and is going to be here forever. Pins are going to come and pins are going to go, Todd, but stickers are forever. Just like Ric Flair. Woo!
Wow.
Pins are an enamel flash in the pan.
Oh, my God.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
That's right. They're just, you know, pins. You know, cavemen had stickers, but...
No, they had sticks.
They had sticks?
There's a difference.
Okay.
So moving along, of course, if you, you know, all the links to these conventions will be in the show notes, as will the links for Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. Anytime one of the shows in our little umbrella of podcasts put a show, the link will go up on that site, whether it be Long Box Heroes, Long Box Heroes After Dark, Fresher in Parlance, Profane Argument, Puzzle Warriors 3, Paladins of Voltron, Aim Downsides Podcast, and most notably, Podvocacy. Anytime any of those shows come out, it'll be up there, or anytime any of these people appear on another show and they remind me, it'll go up on the site as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it looks like Talk and Gimmicks might be coming to an end, and I'm sad about that.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's maybe tough to get their schedules together, it seems.
You know what they need? They need a guy who really knows wrestling to join up with them.
Right, like you.
Yeah. I'm sure they'd line up to get me on Talk and Gimmicks.
You'd be surprised, Todd. You are a hot get in the world of reviewing professional wrestling.
Well, as long as they could pay my bagels, my bagel fees,
mm-hmm.
who knows?
So, moving over to sales and freebies, the digital sales that are going on, the My Little Pony sale is still going on. I guess there's a movie that came out of My Little Pony either just this past week or this week. Rick and Morty from Oni Press is having a sale. Not to be confused with your local brick-and-mortar store. Marvel is having a sale on a bunch of Spider-Man stuff. And really, I could be here all day telling you all the great Spider-Man stuff that's there. But I want to specifically mention the DC sale that's going on. So, it's called the DC Number One Sale. And it says, it starts with one. Check out the first chapter of some of the best stories DC Comics has to offer, right? And then I'm looking at the list, right? And we got to get kind of deep before we get anything that's really like, oh man, that's a must have, like the superhero side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have the first two trades of Justice League 3000 and 3001.
Right.
They have the first trade of Green Lantern's New Guardians.
Okay.
All right. And then they have, like, for Dick Grayson stuff, they have the first trade of the New 52 run, the first trade of Grayson, and the first trade of the Chuck Dixon run from back in the 90s.
That's all good stuff.
Okay. Kind of a hodgepodge. For under Superman, they have the first trade of the Lex Luthor Black Ring story arc.
Paul Cornell, right?
Right, right. But, like, while these are good trades, I'm not sure if these are ones that, like, oh man, these are must-haves. These are the ones that everyone knows and loves.
I agree. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of it's marketing. Like, that Justice League 3000 and 3001, that Justice League Omnibus is coming out in, like, a week. So, like, there's probably reasons for, like, the creators and stuff like that. I'm wondering, like, with Nightwing, if there's something coming up. They're talking about the Nightwing movie. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Right. Now, I will say this on the darker side of things. You've got a good mix. You've got the first trade of Hitman.
Cool.
You've got the first trade of the mid-2000s Jonah Hex run.
Oh.
Right. You've got the first trade of Transmetropolitan. You've got the first trade of Scalped. You've got the first trade of Fables. You know, these are things I'm like, okay, these make sense. I get it. These are top-of-the-line, you know, books from top-of-the-line creators. The rest just seems like kind of a strange hodgepodge. It's not like these book, like the, it's like, oh man, we're backlogged on these digital books. We got to clear out all these new 52 digital trades of voodoo.
Ugh. Well, you know what? Maybe it's just filler. Like, you can't put all the good stuff out, and then, like, the next week, it's like, hey, it's all these books nobody ever cared about. You gotta, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. And hopefully you'll bite on the, when you get, like, oh, Fables, oh, you know, Jonah Hex, oh, Transmet, oh, I'll take, you know, Justice League 2000 or 3000. So I don't know. I guess that's what they think.
Now, I know they do this a lot of times with the single issues where a lot of those bigger runs, your Transmets, your Fables, your stuff like that, sometimes they'll do the first issue of those either at a super reduced rate or even free. But why aren't those books, like the first trade of Sandman, the first trade of like Alan Moore, Swamp Thing, the first trade of whatever, just like perennially on sale?
They should be, like, especially, like, those that you just meant, they're all award-winning titles. It's right. Not like, you know, just your average run-of-the-mill books. You should constantly have, especially stuff with a huge, like, pedigree and multiple trades. That they should. It's like the way, I mean, it's slightly different, but in the store, like, remember when Walking Dead, before it became what it was like, oh, the first trade was always $9.
Right.
Was $9.99. They've upped that since then, Joe. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that.
Now that, you know, they think that book's going to make it, they upped the first trade a little bit.
we are 170 some issues in. I think it's pretty good by now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised, and it's, well, they only upped it to like 15, which is still lower than the rest of them, I think.
Right, but that's still higher than 99.
And see, that's the other thing too, is because Image, at the very least, they do all of their first trades of any of their series as a $9.99 trade, except for Walking Dead, which was the original one that they did at $9.99, but they've since upped it to $15.
I guess Tony Moore is asking for that extra bit since he left.
I'll just say this. If Marvel or DC or Image or whomever it is wants someone to cultivate a list of what should be on sale for your trades, to do a themed list, a unique themed list that's not just like a hodgepodge of things, call me. My number's in the phone. My phone number's on the back of my license plate.
Oh boy, okay.
All right.
I was going to ask, your phone number's Creeper 1?
No. It's Dirty Deeds.
Oh boy.
Let's get into what we read from this past week, Todd. And let's start off with Marvel Legacy number 1, the book that we both read.
Right.
Written by Jason Aaron, with art by a ton of people.
Right.
So this is essentially the primer. If you care about anything that Marvel is going to be doing going forward, at least until they change things again, hopefully not.
Mm-hmm.
This is the book that is going to give you the information you need about the major characters, what they're going to be doing, and where they're going to be going.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a narrative here, of course. We have a narrator who's talking very intimately about these characters and some of the mistakes that they've made and some of the different parts of their life that they are, kind of giving you, maybe a new reader, some of the information. Like, if this is the first time that you've picked up a book that has Jane Foster Thor in it, you didn't know that Jane Foster Thor has cancer, the narrator is here to give you that information. Now, there was teasers and leaks about people who were going to be returning in this book. One was a fake out, because they don't kind of return to this book, but they had already returned, I guess, sort of in previous issues of Thor, specifically Thor Generations. Another one that got spoiled last week that we didn't mention, and then another one that I think is going to spell the return of what a lot of people have been clamoring for in the Marvel Universe, at least for the last 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what were your thoughts, your feelings on this? Are you more excited, less excited? Is there new stuff that you're going to be picking up based on this?
Basically, this is like how people have been comparing it to Rebirth, like that Rebirth one-shot, which I say is fair and unfair at the same time because, you know, Marvel always kind of did this. Remember when they were doing this, what they did it with their Point One, where the people broke into the Watchers thing to get information and it showed you what was coming up. So Marvel has a history of doing this. But the thing that I took away from it was that there were things that I very much enjoyed and I want to keep going with it, like the Thor stuff. Some stuff that I didn't care for, where it seems like they're going to try and retcon a member into the original Avengers, where like Jarvis is like, something doesn't feel right. And I've heard the news reports that it's like that somebody was an original Avenger and now we've forgotten them and it's time. And to me, that never works. Like, they've tried that a few times with both DC and Marvel. And I'm always like, nope.
Well, just like, as a side note to that, I know we talked about it last week, how that starting at the end of the year that Avengers was going to go weekly.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going weekly for 4 months.
Okay.
And it's the story of how whoever this character is gets put into the original Avengers.
Right, which that kind of doesn't interest me. The return of the big character in this, that kind of interests me. The Avengers 1 billion BC or whatever it is, 1 million BC, I forget which one is. That kind of interests me. But the big one that I totally went nuts on this is that Ben and the Human Torch are going to hunt down Reed and Sue. And I was like, yes, it's about time. And just by reading that one panel or one page with the multiple of Ben being Ben and Johnny being Johnny and just discussing how the world needs the Fantastic Four right now, I am all in on that Marvel 2-in-1 book. Like, all in.
Yep.
I cannot wait for that book.
Same here. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago at different conventions where Bree Vord or whomever said we wouldn't put the creative team on Marvel 2-in-1 if we didn't have big plans for it. I think you had even tweeted out a quote or two from the book this past week as well. And if Marvel 2-in-1 is leading to the return of the Fantastic Four, whether it be the creative team that's on the 2-in-1 book or a different creative team, I'm all for it. Just based on the strength of Ben Grimm alone.
It's really hard to write Ben wrong. It really is.
You know what? That's a great question. And if we had more time and more drive and more something else, that would be a great list to compile. Characters that are impossible to get wrong.
Right. Just really quick. One of my favorite things was from back in the day was What the... Do you remember that book
yes.
by Marvel? And there was a John Byrne issue where he did What the, and it was Superb Man or something like that, meets the Fantastical Four. And it was John Byrne drawing it and John Byrne writing it. And, you know, like it was all like Superman, like it was like Mad Magazine. They were all making fun of stuff. And every time Thing would talk, it was classic Thing, like they were like, hey, how come, like, this would burn Superman, it's like, how come I can't rip your costume but I can rip your cape? And he's like, oh, because I have a small aura about me that protects my suit, but the cape is outside it, doesn't that gets tattered,
right?
And the Thing was like, you know what, I'm gonna stick my big orange mitt in your funky aura. And every time he wrote something, John Byrne would put a little asterisk and goes, there's no way to write the Thing to make him sound goofy, like What the talk, that doesn't sound like the real Thing. Like, there's just no way to What the him without, you know, he just sounds like Ben Grimm. Like, one of my favorite Ben Grimm quotes is in the middle of a fight, somebody hits him real hard, and Ben gets back up, and he goes, ah, go open a diner. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but it's very Ben Grimm. So you can't write Ben wrong. We'll do that list sometime of characters you can't get wrong.
Right. And leave it, if you're aware of this and you want to talk about this, leave it in the comments section. I'd be interested to see that as a talking point on the show at some point. Because there's tons of characters that they do get wrong all the time. And I think the list of characters that you can't get wrong is a much smaller list.
Oh, it is a short list.
Yes. So, I did like Marvel Legacy for what it was. You know, obviously the narrative helped, the little bit of teases for books. I'm going to be off Avengers, because that's just too many, even for 4 months. That's a lot of books to be getting at $4 a clip.
That's what made me jump off of Spider-Man all those years. I mean, I got back on for Superior, but that's what made me get off Spider-Man when they were like, oh, it's going to be three times, it's going to be multi-creators. It never works. It never flows right. So, we'll see, though.
Well, we can argue about whether Spider-Man flowed or not. There were some stories that were stronger than others. But anyway. Moving on to the other book that we both read from this past week. That would be Detective Comics number 965, written by James Tynion IV, with art by Eddie Barrows. And this, essentially, is the return of Tim Drake. A couple issues ago, and by we, I mean the people in the comic book, were led to believe that Tim Drake sacrificed himself and was dead. But we, the comic book reader, knew that he wasn't dead. He was somehow, for some reason, captured by, was it Mr. Oz from the Superman story arc?
Yep.
Who was collecting other people. And this essentially is a redo of Tim Drake's origin in DC Rebirth. And not so much as a redo that they changed anything, but it's more so like a retelling of his origin.
Right, which I think they did walk back certain things from New 52. Was because I vaguely remember during the New 52 run that they had said that Tim was never Robin. He was always Red Robin.
Right.
And this walks that back, that at one point he was Robin and then became Red Robin. Do you know what I mean? Like that's very confusing in that, but the whole origin seems to be more of what the original pre-New 52 origin was. Like, he figured out who Batman and Robin were by clues, by the flip that Dick Grayson did, which is all the stuff that I remember from the Chuck Dixon run.
Yeah.
That which was really cool. But the thing that I love the most about this is the fact that, and they touch on it, is when Mr. Oz is like messing with Tim Drake and he's like, and you're going to become Batman. He's like, no, I never had plans to become Batman. And I never, you know, I knew what I was and I knew what I'd always be. And Batman was never it. Whether he was going to be Robin forever or go off, like they hinted in this book, and do better things as Tim Drake, you know, saving the world. I always loved that, like, it was, people always threw it on Dick Grayson. It's like, if anything happens to Batman, you're going to become Batman. And Damian is like, no, I'm going to be Batman. There was just something about Tim Drake kind of like knowing what his place was, and not that he couldn't be Batman. It was just, I'm not Batman. And this like hammers that point home. And that's why Tim Drake will always be one of my favorite Robins of all time.
Right, and this actually, it's something that they touch on that goes all the way back to when Geoff Johns was writing Teen Titans, and it's something that I bring up all the time, because I think that it's one of the pivotal moments of Tim Drake's career.
Mm-hmm.
That in the very first issue of the Geoff Johns Teen Titans book, you know, when all the guys are like talking about how, you know, they're legacy characters and this, that, the other thing, but there's other characters, like how there's not a second Starfire, and there's not a second Cyborg or a second Beast Boy, but some of the other characters there are, like, you know, Wonder Girl essentially is Wonder Woman, and so
Kid
on and
Flash.
So forth. Was that?
Like Kid Flash and stuff like that.
Right.
Speedy.
And Tim Drake says that I never will be Batman. If I end up as Batman, you know something went really wrong in my life.
Right.
And then like a year later, they do a five years flash forward, and Tim Drake is Batman. Mm-hmm. And he, like, the Titans of this era go to that 5 years later, and Tim Drake of this era is freaking out because he's trying to figure out what happened in his life that ended up happening so bad that he had to sink so low to become Batman.
Right.
And it was just such a cool thing of how so many people see Batman as, like, this cool thing, or, like, you know, in the DC universe, or, like, this thing to be feared, or this thing to be whatever, but Tim Drake sees it as, that's your bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Wayne became Batman because he lost everything and a horrible thing happened to him.
Right.
If I become Batman, then something horrible happened to me. And they come back to that in this, and I loved it.
Definitely. And then, through all that, something horrible gets loose, and I'm like, I need to read the next issue of this kind of like right now.
Right. Well, luckily, this is a book that comes out every 2 weeks.
Right, so that does help things.
And this has been consistently one of the best books of DC Rebirth.
Yes, and you know what? That's another thing that I want to talk about, is you know how, like, I think, and we both mutually agree on this, like, Detective slipped from, like, remember how Detective started out better than Batman?
Yes.
Like, and then we were like, okay, they went in different directions, and this is coming back. You know why? Because the heart of this book is Tim Drake,
mm-hmm.
and him being presumed dead in a way. I think, I mean, the book was still good, don't get me wrong, but I think the fact that there was no, and now seeing Tim Drake back, that no Tim Drake hurt this book. At least a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that we're seeing Tim again in this, because Tim is the great character that I think was the heart and soul of this detective run.
Right. I 100% agree.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's been good since he's been gone, but, you know, Azrael is not Tim Drake. Clayface is not Tim Drake. And while all of these characters have been having some great moments, they're not Tim Drake.
Right. Though I think the fancy gentleman would disagree with you on Azrael.
Well, you know what he could do.
Yes, I do.
So anyway, that's what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, even if this show is late, We put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them sent to your home, whether you get them in trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed. We're in the final fiscal quarter of 2017, so it's time to really start scraping those pennies together.
Mm-hmm.
And the two things that Todd and I are doing in the calendar year of 2017 is, one, keeping track of all the books that we have purchased, breaking them out by publisher as well, as guessing what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd still has a one correct guess over me, but we'll see how that goes this week.
Right. And I go first, right?
Yes.
I'm looking over your list, and I have two choices, but I flipped a coin when no one was looking. And is the book you are looking forward to most, Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica, number one?
That is the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week.
The other one that I was thinking was Tick 2017, number one.
Yes, and it's a very strange kind of out there book, co-written by Colin Bunn, who's not known much as a humor guy, kind of more known as a superhero, more so horror guy. And I'm a fan of his, and I really wanted to check that out. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes with indie books, they do run a little bit late, and this one was supposed to come out a couple months ago, but the Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica, written by Mark Andreyko and Paul Dini, just sounds like it's going to be such a blast, and that's the one I'm most looking forward to coming out this week.
Cool beans.
Now, for you, looking at your list, is the book you're most looking forward to coming out this week, Batman White Knight?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Where the Batman-Joker roles are reversed. I believe it's all Sean Murphy?
Right, it's written and drawn by Sean Murphy, yes.
Who did Punk Rock Jesus, that's how I found Sean Murphy years ago, and I enjoyed Punk Rock Jesus, so I'm giving this a try.
I'll be very interested to see what you think of that one. This is just, it's kind of like an Elseworlds book without saying it's an Elseworlds book. They don't call books those anymore.
Maybe it's a dark multiverse story.
It's an unofficial dark metal tie-in.
Yes.
You never know.
You never can tell.
Right. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around on all the other stuff there, whether it be past editions of the poll post, past editions of this show, past editions of After Dark. Anything that we've ever done on the internet exists over at longboxheroes.com. And also you can click on the little store button to pick up a shirt or a sticker with our fancy logo on them. Or at least with the stickers, you can just harangue Todd if you're going to New York Comic Con this weekend, and I'm sure he'll be happy to share one of those with you. And I'm sure he's been making these stickers into pins as we speak, just to kind of upset me.
Yes, I've been sticking pins to pins and pins to stickers. Mm-hmm. I'm like a crazy mad doctor doing all this stuff.
Now, I do want to say this also, of course, you can check out. If you don't want a pin, you don't want a sticker, you can always click on our Amazon link across the top of the page. Anything that you purchase through the Amazon link, we get a little bit of a kickback from. And some of the notable purchases through the Amazon click-through this past week were someone picked up the third trade of Saga. Someone also picked up the Blu-ray of Batman Mask of the Phantasm, as well as the digital edition of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Someone also purchased an MDF Acoustica Deluxe Lightweight Dual Head Stethoscope in Raspberry.
Beret.
And someone also purchased a PetSafe Simply Clean Self-Cleaning Cat Litter Box.
Ooh, for self-cleaning cats.
Mm-hmm. I could solve that problem. Don't have a cat.
There you go. You know what? Looking over all that stuff, the one thing that intrigues me is the Batman Mask of the Phantasm Blu-ray.
Yes.
Because I have to do a terrible confession here, Joe. Uh-oh. I've seen every Batman animated thing ever, and the Justice League and the Batman Beyonds and all that stuff. I've never seen Mask of the Phantasm.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I saw it when it first came out in like 1992 or 93, and I remember it being really good.
Right.
But then I also remember the toys coming out about 2 months before the movie and spoiling the reveal of who the Phantasm was.
Right. That's the one thing is I do know who the Phantasm is because of that.
Right.
You know, so.
I wonder if it still holds up today. I'm sure Batman the Animated Series in general still holds up today, you know?
Now I have to watch it and see.
So the other thing I want to mention, of course, is our pigskin pick'ems over at, you can get the link and find out how you're doing. I'm still waiting to hear from this balloonist, 19 to see who that is. People are speculating that it's, not a real person, that it might be a bot account, but I don't know.
I don't understand how bots would work because they have to make those picks before the, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm, as commissioner, but because I'm closer to the top than you are, so
absolutely.
I may give you this decision so no one can say it's me towards the end if I win.
Right.
If we don't find out who Balloonus is, I can't kick him out of the league. You know what I mean? Because the ESPN pick'ems don't give me that ability as commissioner. You're going to make the call whether we should disqualify him and whoever's second is like reigning champion.
Well, he'll have to contact us to get his prize.
Right. Well, if he doesn't reveal himself in the next couple of weeks, then
I'd give him to the end of the season.
Okay, the end of the season. But here's the thing. If somebody just goes, it was me all along, we need some proof. We can have 10 people say, I'm Balloonus. How are we going to get proof?
There's got to be a way.
You know? Do you see what I'm trying to say now?
I do, but there's got to be a way to find out.
Right. So that's why I'm trying to get it before the end of the season where they can go, this is how I'll give you proof. Now, I'll pick the teams, but you know how you do that Monday night guess, you have to do the score?
Right.
Do two weird numbers and tell us what they are. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And that'll be your proof.
Right.
And if we don't get that, you're disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss. There's still like 12 weeks, so 13 weeks. So, but sorry, I got hot about this because I want it to be on the up and up. Because football isn't a work, you know. Something. But anyway, pigskin pick'ems, everybody.
Bing is your friend.
I blew Joe's mind.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking.
Mm-hmm. Are you binging things?
Uh-huh. I know at the very least he's a 49ers fan.
Because he's in the group of the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a second. He had a second account that missed picks in the early weeks.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Did you find that?
I did.
See, so something's up there. I'm wondering if somebody. I don't know. I have a whole bunch of theories, but I don't know how to use them.
A lot of purely speculation going on.
That's right, and not the good kind of speculation, like on books that are going to be worth money in the future.
Right. I cannot CGC a person as much as I'd like to.
I wish, I would love to be slabbed.
So, Todd, were there any Todd's Art Attacks this week?
Nope, I looked while you were talking about something before. There was none since the last week's.
Okay. So, last but not least, to close things out, it's going to be discussion of Cersei.
Creasy.
Creasy, my apologies.
Right.
Written by Warren Ellis with art by Raulo Cacarsis.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a one-shot, 48 pages, I think. So it's a very interesting book in that it's essentially historical fiction.
Right.
Told from someone who is taking place in this war in the 14th century of England versus France. And this longbowsman is very knowledgeable about current day, talking to us, the reader, as to what's going on.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Right. He's breaking kayfabe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this, it feels like a manga, and not because it was just in black and white. But I think due to the heavy use of blacks in this.
I think the one fatal flaw of this book is because of that, the art is very muddy and hard to follow at times.
Well, again, you don't really have to worry about too many characters outside of our main character. And he'll be like, oh, here's this king and here's this prince. And, you know, we get close-ups of these people and we get a little bit of information about these people.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a filthy book.
Yes, it is.
a lot of discussion, and I would assume that a lot of the things in this book, as I mentioned, it's historical fiction, and that Warren Ellis took information that's out there in regards to a very famous battle from the 14th century, and took other information about Nordic people of the time, French people of the time, English people of the time, historical information of how they would do their bows versus their crossbows versus the horses versus the armor to kind of construct this story.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I'll just say I feel like you said there was a lot of to me which he would be easily to to look up this stuff, to research it. Mm-hmm. All that stuff I wholeheartedly believe is real. Like the history of how certain kings died horribly with a red hot poker, and how arrows work, the tips weren't secured tightly, so when you pulled the arrow, you had to push the arrow all the way through to make it worse, or if you pulled it out, the arrowhead would pop off and stay in the body. They're like, all that stuff is very researchable, so I don't doubt it. I like some of the stuff of the hatred between the countries and the clans, like how England hates the Welsh and the Scottish, but hates France. And I believe that was the way it was at this time. I believe that has more of the flourishes of the writing would be there. But I believe a lot of it is, and I've heard stories from certain people who, there's still a lot of that bigotry going on between countries now, but I found that fascinating, and I do believe at least it's an accurate portrayal of how warfare and soldiers were at the time. And it is filthy, and it almost has a, like you say, it looks like manga. To me, it's almost like if Preacher was a historical period piece about war in the 14th century.
Right. So, okay, that's an interesting thing you bring up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though this is something that could be mined for more information.
Okay.
And by that I mean, this is a story that has legs. That they could have done a mini series, or at least a series thing, other than just one story. We could have followed this character through other wars. We could have followed just different wars in general during these battles. I think there's more to be mined from this.
It would be really cool if that guy, the main character, whose name is on the front page, I'm going to go in one second. His name is, give me one second. His name is William of Stanham.
Mm-hmm.
Would be cool if we did other battles, Warren Ellis did other battles, with his descendants or ancestors.
Right.
Would be really cool. Be like World War II, and this is what it was like, or this battle in the 1700s. My history is very terrible, but I know what you're saying. It's like you could have either done more in this war with this character, or more in general with this style of storytelling per famous battles or famous wars. If I'm getting what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. I agree.
That is what I'm saying. But I enjoyed this. I think it could have used a little bit different of an art style, and mm-hmm. I think there's more to be mined from this. I think that there's a lot left on the table that could have been told to give more to these characters, to this story, to this style.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just one thing I want to touch on, one of my favorite things, because apparently I have some Welsh in my family.
Mm.
My favorite thing is when the English guy was like, the Welsh guy was bothering. He's like, shut up. He's like, do you know why my people, the English, rolled over your people so bad? It's because not only do you hate foreigners, you hate your own people, like the next village over. And you hate the next village over so much that when you got conquered, you wouldn't run to warn the next village. You would just say, hey, well, they got it coming too, and they're worse than us, so I hope they obliterate them. And I'm like, I wonder how much of that is bigotry and how much of that is true. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there were certain things that you're like, a lot of this seems like the period time of, just what's jingoism and Zion, what's the word you hate, foreigners, but,
xenophobia?
But like I said, xenophobia, how much is xenophobia, or how much of it was literally like maybe back in the time, you know, like the Welsh villages fought so much that some of that's true. Do you know what I mean? It makes me, the one thing I will say about this book, it makes me want to look more into this era and time period. And I think that's the best thing you could say about this story.
Yes.
But it's not for the faint of heart. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, like I said, I think the art did make it suffer a little bit, but I still really enjoyed it.
I did too. I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. So my book, as we are in Halloween time, spooky time, scary time, what have you.
Sorry.
My book is not a ghostly thing. It's not a supernatural thing. It's not what have you. This is a terror sort of thing. Mm-hmm. My book that we're going to be talking about is Gotham Central number 12.
I remember this book.
Okay. Gotham Central was kind of an overarching narrative throughout the majority of this. They would break it up into arcs, and they would break it up into specific single issues. But this particular issue, I think, kind of stands on its own. It's the beginning of a story arc called Soft Targets, if you remember that one.
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. So there, and again, in light of recent events, obviously I mentioned this. I think I had picked this book on my list before what had happened just this past week. But there is a gunman in Gotham City. The police can't find him. The police can't stop him. And then it's a twist of who it is at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Right. So.
But that's my book for this week.
Cool beans.
And we're going to try to stick with scary, spooky, frightful, etc. books this week.
Or this week. I have one ready to go too, so.
Alrighty. So,
I think that's everything.
Yes.
Now, I have a question. Now, not next week because we won't be reviewing it, but does Flash come back next week?
Flash does come back next Tuesday. That's correct.
Right. So, we record us on a Tuesday. Spoiler alert. So, next week, in 2 weeks, we'll start reviewing the Flash, I guess, is what I wanted to know.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And it looks like in about 2 years' time, we're going to have a lot more shows to be adding to the list. But we'll cross those bridges when we get to them.
Oh, my God. Can I say something now before we cut out of here?
All right.
There was a time when Little Todd would have loved as many comic book TV shows as there are now.
Right.
Older Todd is kind of like, oh, man, I'm getting burnt out on comic book TV shows.
You just got to make the right choices, Todd. You got to be choosy.
I am, but it's coming to the point where what was there, like, in the past week, 3 new comic book TV shows?
Announced, yeah.
Not announced, no. There wasn't, we wasn't Gifted on?
Gifted, Inhumans, and something else?
Yes, I want to say something else appeared. But I didn't even try any of them. Well, we tried Inhumans back in the movie there. But, like, Gifted, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I got enough. If I hear it's amazing,
yeah,
I'll go back and watch it. But I can't do it, Joe. I can't do it.
I don't blame you.
All right. I just wanted to get that off my chest. That was weighing heavy upon it.
All right, good. So is there anything else we need to cover?
No, I think we're good.
All right, everyone. Thanks for bearing with us, me through my illness. And the show's going to go up ASAP. It'll be up in just mere minutes from us hitting stop on the recording. And Todd, you be safe and have fun in New York this weekend.
Thank you.
And closing out episode 366 of Longbox Heroes, for Todd, this is Joe saying we'll see you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! It is week 5. Asa got 8 correct last week.
8
correct, yes. So it's time to do our football picks. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
How was school today, by the way?
Good.
Awesome. What was the best thing at school today?
tons of math.
Yeah, I like that. All right. One of these days, we're going to add up all the picks that we get. So, who do you think is going to win? The Patriots or the Buccaneers?
Buccaneers?
Who do you think is going to win? The Bills or the Bengals?
The Bills?
The Jets or the Browns?
The Browns.
The Panthers or the Lions?
Lions.
Lions. The Titans or the Dolphins?
Dolphins.
The 49ers or the Colts?
Colts.
The Chargers or the Giants?
Giants.
Giants. The Cardinals or the Eagles?
Eagles.
The Jaguars or the Steelers?
Steelers.
The Ravens or the Raiders?
Ravens.
Oh my goodness. The Seahawks or the Rams?
Rams.
The Packers or the Cowboys?
Packers.
The Chiefs or the Texans?
Texans.
Texans. And last but not least, the Vikings or the Bears?
Bears.
All right, those are Ace's picks.
This is other stuff I have to say.
What was that?
There's other stuff I have to
say. All right, what do you have to say?
Not right now. I want it to see how long.
Oh, you want to see this? He wants to see the levels as he's talking.
Hello.
You want to sing something?
No.
Do you want to sing? Tell a story or something? All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. You're nuts. I love it. Good night, everybody.